time to get out and explore.
Melissa in the Morning brings you science you may not know on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
There's nothing I can do, a total eclipse of the heart.
But was it a total eclipse of the heart? Well, we're about to find out right now. David Mestre is back. And as you know, if you've been following the show for the past really couple of months, David has been talking to us about his trip down south with a group of University of Bridgeport students to get in on a very exclusive, very exciting experiment. And it all centered around the solar eclipse that happened earlier this month. Well, David is back, and I cannot wait to hear what happened. Hey, David, welcome back to Connecticut. Good morning.
Thank you. I ended up coming back with a cowboy hat too. It was kind of cool, though.
Did you? I mean, it's very. Listen, you were in Texas, so you gotta blend in, right?
It's really hard to blend in when you're carrying a giant balloon with you.
Well, you know, you were there for a purpose, right? I mean, you were there for a purpose. I mean, this is really cool. First of all, backtrack for people if they may not have heard the story here on WICC. I know we featured it a few times, but just give people kind of a synopsis. What do you mean you were carrying a balloon? What was the project that you had been working on and you were going to be doing during the solar eclipse earlier this month?
Yeah, so University of Bridgeport and a number of universities all across the country were part of NASA's National Eclipse Ballooning Project. And this was a pretty ambitious project where all along the path of totality, there were going to be a number of universities that were going to be launching these what are called high-altitude balloons. These are a picture weather balloons that are probably at 8 to 10 feet in diameter. They have a train of packages that are payloads with electronics on them. We were going to track these balloons. They were going to reach altitudes of anywhere between 70 and 80,000 feet above the ground. They had a special valve with a vent that we could actually let some helium out, and we could actually get the balloon to stay at that altitude for the duration of the eclipse. And as the eclipse shadow basically was rushing across the eclipse path at about 1,600 miles an hour, we would have cameras watching this shadow pass underneath us as we're on the ground capturing all this data. And then we would just send a little command. The balloon would get cut from the rest of the payload, and then the payload would come down on a parachute.
Wow. Okay, so let me understand this, though. Were you watching the footage as it was happening, or was this something you were capturing and then you can go back and watch the footage later?
Yeah, so we had a couple of ways to do this. One, it actually had a transmitter with a camera that could actually transmit the live footage, and we were going to transmit this or at least grab this imagery and then put it on a YouTube channel. So we were actually going to do this live. Then we had another camera, which was a 360 camera, and that was on the payload train too. Picture a big string, and on this string are like pretty close to like half a dozen little packages, and each package is something different. And on that payload string, this tether was a small 360 camera as well. And so that was one way to be able to capture some of this imagery. We would just have to retrieve this afterwards.
So I'm nervous, David. So I have to be honest with the people listening at home. I have not talked to David. I have not spoken to David since he's gotten back. So this is new for me and for you listening at home. You keep saying we would have, we were, we will, yeah, we were.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you saying that? Was it not a success?
So we have to define success in maybe different ways.
Oh, no, David, you're going to break hearts right now. No, what happened?
So ballooning is hard. It really is. And so we had about a team of people. And so we go to Junction, Texas with all of this equipment. And we end up deciding that we're going to launch not from Junction, where the University of Texas Outdoor Center is. There's a big group of people there. A science museum called the Exploratorium is doing their live cast. We've got middle school students all around. So the three universities that were in Junction, Texas, we're going to go to a place called Rockville, Texas, that has an airport. And commandeer the airport. and we're going to launch our balloons there. So we do that. We get down there, and here are three teams, and three teams are inflating balloons, us included, and the winds start to kick up.
Oh,
and with
no.
balloons, winds can be pretty challenging to work with. And so mm-hmm. we're getting about 15-mile-per-hour winds and sometimes gusts of 20 miles per hour. That's really hard to launch balloons at.
Yeah.
And so while we're inflating our balloons and getting our balloons ready, these winds are starting to kick up. And our team is inflating, and we look behind us, and we notice that there's a balloon up in the air. And that balloon doesn't have any boxes attached to it. One of the teams lost their balloon, and they're holding their boxes on the ground. And so they have to scramble like crazy with their backup balloon and try to inflate a second balloon in time while this shadow is coming at 1,600 miles per hour. And then we're inflating our balloon. And while we're inflating, something, I don't know, must have caught our attention because we actually had a video that we captured of ourselves on a GoPro while we were inflating, and something must have happened. We don't know quite what happened, but all of us kind of like looked in one direction. And as we looked in one direction, the balloon went in the other direction and landed on the ground, and there's this huge pop.
Oh, no.
Now, we had to pivot pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And we turn around and we get we grab another helium tank, we get another balloon, and we're inflating. And as we're inflating, we're running the clock down. But this eclipse shadow is coming. And as this eclipse shadow is approaching, we need to get this balloon inflated as fast as we can so that we can catch that moment. As we inflate, though, we don't have quite enough helium. And it's enough to get it off the ground, but it's not going to get off the ground fast enough. And so as we let the balloon go, instead of shooting up into the air like the other balloons do, mm-hmm. This particular balloon decides that it's just going to take its time. It's just go up and, you know, just going to lazily, you know.
You know, pick up a coffee on the way, maybe take a nap,
and then continue on its way.
Yeah.
Yeah. While it's doing that, though, it's dragging all of our boxes across Texas. And it's just leaving some of them behind.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh.
Boxes that didn't make it. Note to self, we should tape things a little better. And one of the things that got left behind was, of course, our 360 camera. And so able to get 360 images. Another thing that got left behind was this device called a Spot. It's a little GPS tracker.
Mm-hmm.
But we were okay because we had two different ways to track.
Okay.
And so we were tracking our balloon. But then it gets to a point where, oh, my gosh, it's at 90,000 feet in the air. This is actually 96,000, 97,000 feet. This is really high. And at about 96,000, 97,000 feet, we lose contact.
Oh, isn't that just the best? We have David Mestre here of Science You May Not Know. And just to catch you up if you're delayed in hearing the conversation, David and a team of students from the University of Bridgeport, this was one of several colleges that were called together a while back. Because, David, I remember going to UB and seeing part of the project that was in the works back in the fall. So I know that you've been working on this for quite some time, but a group of colleges were able to go down to Texas and they were getting in on this major project that was being done for NASA. And it was to basically get images of the solar eclipse. And David and his team joined two other colleges in going to a different location, which was an airport. And unfortunately, because of windy conditions, really made it very challenging for them to be able to get the balloons up in the air and be able to get the images that they were hoping for. Now, David, you left us on a cliffhanger. So you had two GPS monitoring systems on your project, on your creation. One of them you lost. The other one, though, you had up until about, you said, 96,000 feet in the air. So what happened?
Is actually pretty remarkable. That particular system is a system that is maintained and supported by ham radio operators. These are amateur radio operators.
We love ham radio.
Without these ham radio operators, we would not have been able to keep track of this balloon. And so we have some engineers that work with us. They're retired, but you wouldn't think they were, because the kind of stuff that they've done for our projects is unbelievable. Mm. They built a special tracker, a ham radio tracker for us. That was the tracker that was able to keep us on top of that balloon up until around 96,000 feet. And so that was really kind of a cool thing, that this particular tracker that they had for us was able to display the position of the balloon. So, you know, when we lost track of the balloon, our professor, Dr. Pallas, gave us permission to try and see if we could find it, because if it was on the ground and if we were close, the tracker would be broadcasting its position. We just needed to get close enough to it to be able to hear that signal, and it would then report its position. So that's what we were hoping for. So we literally, and this is when, you know, university students get really excited, we jumped into our pickup trucks, that's what you drive in Texas.
That's awesome.
We're driving around in the backcountry of Texas looking for this payload and trying to listen for the signal, and nothing. So we were, we couldn't find this, our payload. It's somewhere in Texas. So the only thing that we can hope for is that maybe somebody goes out in their ranch, because most of Texas in this particular area is actually private land. And so somebody's backyard or somebody's ranch, there's a bird there, there's a payload there with all this electronics. And we had to make sure that we put our telephone number in there. So maybe sometime in the future, Dr. Pallas at University of Bridgeport is going to get a call from some rancher and say, I've got a box for you.
All right. Well, we definitely are going to keep our fingers crossed. And as far as like footage, you guys didn't get any footage though?
Other teams were able to. And so, okay. So that's one of the things that happens in these kinds of missions, is that if you can put enough hardware into the air, somebody's bound to catch something.
Mm.
And so, you know, when I was working with the community center that I work at, we had these telescopes that we wanted to use to capture the solar eclipse. And so my solar eclipse with my telescope was able to capture part of the eclipse, but just at the moment of totality in Texas, we got clouds. But my friend, my colleague, took the second telescope up to Vermont, and she was able to see the total solar eclipse.
Yeah, Vermont, I heard, was stellar. I had so many of my friends in Vermont who said it. Why didn't you come up with Chase? I'm like, oh, guys, do you think?
I can
do double shift? I mean, seriously, I had to do my show. What do you think? I'm going to get in the car, run up, and get back in the pickup line by 2:30? Y'all are crazy.
You would not make it back.
No, because, I don't think I would have.
No. Yeah, my friend was in probably about 5 hours of traffic as Vermont roads were not prepared.
Are you kidding me, David? On the way into work, the day after the eclipse, I have never seen so many cars on our highways at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, where are all these people going? I'm like, oh, y'all are coming back from Vermont and you got to get to work this morning.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's going on. You guys got, you know, you had your total eclipse celebration and then you got up early and came home to go to work. It was crazy.
But it was a great event. And I think one of the things that I like to say is that this was an opportunity for these students at the University of Bridgeport and all these universities that were working on the project to do something that was challenging. And this was a really big learning experience. And this is what engineering is like. And that's just the reality, that sometimes you have to kind of deal with the challenges. And sometimes every once in a while, there's what we call a failure. But it's a teachable failure. And that's really what makes an engineer so remarkable, is they have this resilience to pick up the pieces, rearrange them, improve them, make them better, and try again. And so that's the thing that was kind of exciting. And we all got it together, the whole team, and we bought a little a thank you card for our professor.
Oh, that's awesome.
And when we gave the thank you card, I wrote a couple of words that were, I thought, something that were deeply meaningful and inspirational. And what I wrote was, "We live to balloon."
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, David, if there's anyone on this planet who has, I think, some of the craziest, wildest, best science stories and outcomes, it's you. And I think you're going to get that call from that random rancher in Texas. And when you do, you better tell me. I mean, you could tell me second. If you want to tell your team first, I understand, but I better be the second person you call.
Absolutely. You're going to get the scoop.
I am holding out hope. Oh, I think this is so neat. And what a great opportunity, like you said, David. And I know UB will get the opportunity again with your guidance and leadership. I'm very excited to see what happens next and certainly what new project is on the horizon. So thank you. Thank you for keeping us part of the story and keeping us up to date with everything. We'll see what happens. Who knows?
All right. Yeah. Well, you're welcome. And stay tuned to science. I mean, there's always something happening.
Yes. In fact, David and I have a subject already for next week that we're going to talk about. We're very excited to discuss these smart bird feeders and how they can impact some of our urban green areas. So I'm excited to dive into that for next week's Science You May Not Know right here on WICC. Thank you, David. We'll talk next week.
Take care.
All right. David Mestre of Science You May Not Know on WICC.